Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to another episode of Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And my guest today, gosh, I already know we have so much in common because we both conquered Lyme and we both conquered breast cancer. And it was interesting, before we started the show today, we chatted a little bit about the kind of the correlation of Lyme and cancer. Anyways, it was just very interesting. But I'm super excited to have her today. She is going to take us through her journey of how kind of the nature, you know, everything holistic is what kind of opened her eyes up to getting her well. And so I always love to hear journeys like this because that is exactly what opened up my eyes to really what is out there. And, you know, people a lot of times will talk about, well, these natural supplements and these plants, it's new. No, it's not. It's the originators of everything, you know, many, many moons ago. And so it's just amazing how we're bringing it back and so many of our eyes are being opened to it. So I'm excited to dive into this with my guest. So welcome so much, Danny. I appreciate you joining me.
Thank you for having me. It's quite the honor.
Oh, it's awesome. So where do you want to start? I mean, sometimes our journeys, we don't know where they started. So I'm going to let you figure that part out.
Well, you know, I think I'm one of the rare people that I actually had all the classic signs and I didn't know it until hindsight, you know, where you have that perfect 20/20 vision. You know, I was a heavy duty mechanic. You know, I worked as a swamper with my husband who, you know, this is what he did straight out of high school and has never stopped. In fact, he's out there doing that right now. And we were out on a job. I came home, hit the shower, and I was scrubbing away. And all of a sudden, I realized that just where my watch would be closer to the elbow side, there was a little tiny, what I thought was a black spider sticking out of my arm. And unfortunately, I have a real fear of spiders that I will never shake. And I just grabbed the louver and I scrubbed it like crazy. It was gone. And then, you know, I'm very good as a trauma child at just, you know, packaging that up and putting it in the shelf over here and let's just forget about it. Let's just blank that right out. So I carried on and life was good. And I realized a few days later, I had a perfect round little circle around it. It was so perfect. And a little itty bitty tiny black dot in the middle, but I don't know anything. And of course, we had been working with metal and I thought, well, maybe, you know, somebody had cut a pipe and I accidentally put my arm up against it because I talk with my arms and lightly singed it and didn't realize it. Because I'm pretty good with pain tolerance.
And you know how it makes sense, right?
Sure. And we're all good at minimizing things, right? I did show it to my husband and he thought, well, maybe it was ringworm, but it didn't really look like ringworm. And it was weird when you touch it, it almost felt just like that light tingle of an afterburn kind of thing. So I just disregarded it because, you know, I'm still good, carry on, you know, not putting anything together. Then the flu from hell hits where, you know, even your fingernails hurt. And I just never got better from that. It just seemed that I tried to, you know, carry on. I'm needed on the job. You know, it's winter. I'm, you know, I was bitten in late fall, by the way, just to kind of paint the picture. So now we're into, you know, December and I'm, you know, putting on all these layers of, you know, light leggings, thicker leggings, you know, lined denim. And then you've got your tank top, your t-shirt, your long shirt, and then your sweater on top. But by the time I'm done doing all that, I'm sitting on the edge of the bed in a massive sweat, just exhausted. And I'm going, what is going on? This is not normal. I'm used to get up, hit the floor, Satan goes, oh crap, she's up, and away I go, right? You know, and I would do this all day. We'd go out for dinner and then work some more and then come home and crash, rinse, repeat. That was our schedule. I couldn't do it anymore. And then the aches and pains started to kick in. And it would be one day is this, and the next is that. And then I'd have a week of this. And then the longest, hardest symptom that sat in for me, and this is the one that disabled me, was it hit right in my lower back, just, you know, where I like to say my butt is broken. There's a crack there right at the top is where it felt like it just, you just push me and I would probably break into two pieces and fall apart on the floor. And the closest thing I can relate that to is back labor. If any of your listeners have ever experienced that, my first child was 14, 16 hours, somewhere in there of that. And it just felt like four and a half years of that. It just never let up. And it got worse and worse. And it got to the point where I couldn't even walk through a grocery store. If I did, it's like, okay, I'm going to get three things. I know exactly where they are. And God help me if there's a lineup at the till, because I'm going to have to drop it and go. I got to sit down. I couldn't stay in one position for long enough. Sleep was great. It was like labor. You sleep for about 15, 20 minutes. Then the pain would start to really hook into the lower, you know, where I'm saying. And you'd wake up and you'd shift, and the shifting would be painful, but then it would subside. You sleep for another 15, 20 minutes. And that's how every single night was. And somehow you've got to function and you're wondering why, you know, you're not remembering things. You're given three simple things to do, but there's no way you can do it. Everything became overwhelming. And I still wasn't putting this all together. And I finally had to stay home and play housewife as best I could. Where on a good day, I could wash, dry, fold, and put away a load of laundry and maybe cook a box of Kraft dinner. Without, you know, feeling spent. Wow. That was it. Yeah. So how do you go from heavy duty mechanic to that?
Wow. And you know, listening to you, it is so amazing how so many of our journeys are a lot alike, a lot different, but then a lot alike, because not very many guests or people that I've talked to over the years even got the bullseye rash. And like you, I did. I should have been, yay, right? I got it. That's my telltale sign. I didn't know what it was. Right. I didn't scrub it away, but I thought, this is a weird spider bite. I didn't know what it was. And then, two, I was like, I don't have time to be sick. And that was my most brutal pain, was right in that back where you're talking. And, you know, when I would go to the grocery store to get two or three things, that was all I could handle. I had to get a shopping cart because I leaned over the cart to kind of help me walk. That was, of course, before I graduated to the full-on electric scooter in the grocery store. But yeah, so, you know, and I really was so mad at myself for many years over not being educated on what a bullseye rash meant, you know, and that alone just made me really want to do what I do, just to educate people. If we just have education, we could have so many more tools in our toolbox. So anyways, I just wanted to share that because I was like, is this me talking or telling my story? Because it sounds so much alike. But yeah, well, so who has time to be sick?
Well, that's right. You know, I didn't have time. And, you know, it's funny you say that because I did put my story out there online. It's actually published in two books, but I have had, you know, people email me and say, oh my God, you wrote my story. And that right there, just, I'm almost going to do it now. I start to cry. It's like, why do these people have to go through this?
Yeah, it shouldn't be.
You know, and I already know what they've been through with the doctors as soon as I see that.
Yeah. No, it's very sad. And I do, you know, some of my Facebook friends, especially during May, you know, Lyme Disease Awareness Month, mm-hmm. I really kind of explode my Facebook and I'm like, okay, if any of my friends want to hide me for the month of May, you know, you're what you're in for. And, you know, I guess the amazing side of that is every week I get a friend or a new stranger reach out to me just to help them kind of navigate their Lyme journey. And it's because of that. It's just because I'm sharing the word, I'm sharing the information. And so when Lyme disease or a tick or things like that pop into somebody's mind, they think, Tanya, oh my gosh. And you know what? That's what I want, right? So my job, it worked.
Yes, exactly.
Education is so important.
Well, it is. You know, when I wrote my story, it did go onto the vulnerable side. I mean, right down to, you know, the incontinence part, which, you know, every woman enjoys that. You know, but it is. It's what we go through. And, you know, I wanted for people to read my story and go, oh, my God, maybe that's what's going on with me. Maybe it's Lyme. Maybe it's not fibromyalgia. Maybe it's not MS. Maybe it's an I don't know what it is. Maybe we do know what it is.
Exactly. And spot on, on, because people go many, many years on all sorts of medications for just what you said, fibromyalgia, MS, lupus, you know, all the stuff. And so much of it, the underlying is Lyme disease, but they just don't know, right? And then let's top it off with getting a negative Lyme test, right? Our testing is so inaccurate that that's another.
Can I
we're going to dive right in there. Yeah, let's
I'm going to jump in on you here because I actually got a positive ELISA here in BC, which is almost impossible. And here's something that you'll find very interesting. Our local neurologist, he actually told me that females test falsely positive. I do not have Lyme. And I looked at him and I says, do you hear the words coming out of your mouth? You are telling me that a test has been approved for the general population that will automatically disqualify all females because it tests falsely positive. Please explain to me how I'm supposed to make sense of this.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
That one just blew my mind. So, you know, is it that they don't know or they don't want us to know?
You know, I think it's a little bit of both, right? It's, we can't judge them all because I think that going through medical school, they don't learn all the tools necessary to be able to treat us. But my gosh, you're a doctor, right? You're in this because you want to help others. Get curious, believe your patients and get curious and think outside the box. And then there are, you know, some too that, you know, many of the listeners, if you've ever watched Under Our Skin documentary, you know that a lot of these Lyme doctors lose their licenses for treating Lyme. So
that
it's a little bit of both, you know.
There's the problem. Why would you want to lose your license after you've invested so much into becoming a physician? And I understand that. You know, what I would like to put a bug into some physician ears is we don't care what you call it, just help us.
Yes, yes, I love that. Because I don't need a name. I don't need a label. I need you to believe that what my symptoms are real. And let's figure out how to get rid of the symptoms. What is, you know, one by one, however you want to do it. Absolutely agree with you.
Yep, totally. You know, that would be a good start. You know, and that was the thing that just blew my mind the most. I'm sitting there with a positive ELISA and I've got all the classic symptoms. Like, how could you sit there so closed-minded? Why are you not even willing to consider this? And I did go back to him 6 months later after I had been, you know, doing some antibiotic therapy. And, you know, I was able to do the simple things where, you know, you're asked to make the prayer sign with your elbows straight out, you know, perfect horizontal line, you know, and do it backwards where your hands are pointing down and do all the weird contortion things. And he could poke me in places that didn't bother me anymore. He said, well, I don't understand. I have this, but then I have this. And I says, okay, so I'm going to ask you to do something here. You have eyeballs. What do you see? You tell me what you see. Why am I improving? And I left him with that. And I don't even know where he went from there, but I can only pray that, you know, he caught the light.
Yeah, the light came on, hopefully. So, okay, so that's going to kind of start. So you get your positive test, which according to him is not, right? Mm-hmm. Which sometimes is really hard. We don't get that on the first try. You know, I know personally for me, I had 3 negative Lyme tests. And it wasn't only until I went through Igenix lab to get my positive test. So you have Lyme disease. And so you just mentioned that you started out with antibiotics. So kind of take us down that route. Was that just because you did some research and you were freshly bitten that antibiotics are a good choice? Or was that because we don't know what we don't know?
Well, you know, by the time I figured out to get that test and how that led to that was I was first diagnosed with fibromyalgia from my neurologist, right?
Go figure, yeah.
And I went home and I started Googling, you know, okay, I asked, well, first off, sorry, you know, what do I do about this? I was really excited. I actually have an answer, right? And he says, you learn to live with it. Well, I was 37. There's no way I am spending the rest of my life like this. I got a 357 mag Ruger Security 6, and I'm pretty sure I'm not going to miss it point blank range. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I went home and I started Googling fibromyalgia, and I don't know if Dr. Gabe Merkin is still around or not, but he had a website. And the first thing that happened, the first link on fibromyalgia, it said how to treat Lyme disease. And I'm like, what? Oh, I thought, okay, somebody messed up. So I back up and I go to the second link and it said exactly the same thing, how to treat Lyme disease. And I'm like, boy, some web designer really needs to get on this. And I back up and I go to the third link and it says, well, before you call it fibromyalgia, test for these 14 different things. Well, I printed that out. I took that into my GP. And in there, one of the things was Lyme disease, which I still wasn't considering. There was parvovirus, B12 deficiency, you know, all sorts of things, Crohn's. And so I said, okay, out of this, what have we not tested for? And he says, we haven't done this, 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 this. And he says, we'll leave that for last because that's ugly. I says, okay, fair enough. And that's how I got the positive ELISA. Now, of course, I ran to my rheumatologist with that. And this is where I heard that, you know, false positives, right? And blah, blah, blah. So I take it back to my GP. And by now, you know, learning a little bit about Lyme, I says, okay, here's what I understand. I need to be on doxycycline. Can you work with me on this? Because he admitted he didn't know anything about Lyme. Thank you for that. Thank you for your honesty. I appreciate that.
Yes.
So he did. He put me on, you know, 300 milligrams, I think it was, of doxycycline. You took a 100 milligram tablet three times a day. And that's when I started digging for find somebody who knows something about Lyme. And I did the Googling thing, and this is what put me in touch with Ron Gerhardy up in Prince George, who then put me in touch with a Lyme specialist that we have right here in BC who unfortunately was also forced into retirement because he was, you know, helping patients. But because he's retired now, I can say this, you know, he's still educating people. Dr. Ernie Murakami, you may have heard of him. Anyway, he sat with me and I couldn't believe the first appointment I had with him. He was asking all the right questions and he didn't look at me like I was, pardon my French, batshit crazy when I answered him. I give him honest answers because it's the only way we're going to get down to the bottom of this, right? And he would sit there just ever so calm and stoic. He's such a gentleman. And, you know, my husband came with me and he looks at me. He says, okay, I'm going to give you three words. And in a little while, I'm going to come back and ask you what those three words are. And he starts asking my husband questions. And one of them was, you know, do you find you say something to her and she doesn't remember or, you know, says you didn't ever say that? And he's like, oh, yeah, all the time. And I damn near smacked him one. But then I thought, wait a minute, he wouldn't say that if that wasn't the truth. And that really hurt. I mean, it hit me right there how badly this was damaging my brain. Okay. Now, if that wasn't bad enough, Ernie comes back and he's suddenly out of the blue, what are those three words? And I went, and I remembered two words, but do you think I could pull that third? Not a hope.
Two's pretty impressive.
Oh, I was devastated. I cried all the way home. It was one of the darker days of my life. But the beautiful thing of it was, is that
probably also on the flip side, the best day, right?
Like it
you
was
really have someone that is believing you.
Hearing me, I felt validated. This is part of why I cried all the way home. Finally, somebody gets it, right? And so we decided we were going to test with Igenex. He was looking over everything I brought him and did a clinical assessment. He says, yeah, there's no question, but let's, you know, do the Igenex. And of course that came back positive. And then with him, I started an antibiotic protocol. And it was pretty rigorous. It was 2 years. Sometimes it was 2 to 3 antibiotics at a time, usually double dose. So now you're thinking anti-candida diet, you know, and you're starting to ask yourself at this point, what can I do to help myself? Like, yeah, this is going to kill the bugs. But what do I need to do to help myself? And that's when I started learning, you know, getting onto these, you know, sites where people who already knew stuff like this, you know, they would, you know, talk about the importance of certain supplements and what they do for you, things like turmeric and, you know, black pepper mixed with turmeric and just the little things that I started to learn along the way that, yeah, okay, I'll try that. Yeah, I'll try that. And I'll try this. And then I learned about, you know, properly reading labels, thinking I'm avoiding sugar. But, you know, like a package of rice noodles, there's no sugar. But have you looked at the carbs, which converts to sugar? I didn't know these things, right? So you learn as you go. And anyway, with him, I did, you know, roughly 2 years of that. And once we got to a point where I was about 3 months back-to-back symptom-free, then we, you know, tapered off. And now I'm looking to rev up my own immune system to take over. Because if I've got this in remission, the name of the game here is to keep it in remission.
Right.
So I got very serious about that. And
so was it the antibiotics that you mostly did baseline and that is what got you in remission or got you symptom free and then you kind of dove outside?
I think it's probably a combination. You know, we do have to look after ourselves on a cellular level. And you think about what Lyme does to us on a cellular level, it's a lot of repairing to do. And, you know, it's good to definitely, you know, kill those bugs, get them out of there. But, you know, the bugs, when they're dying, they turn into toxin, which now you've got to be also focusing hardcore on detoxing, you know, starting with your liver, because that poor thing is working overload as it is. So we want to help and support that, you know, and do what we can to, you know, clear out our lymph nodes. And it's a combination of all those things that I found made a big difference, but without the antibiotics to at least knock down the load so that my body could take over, I don't know what I would have done. I've since learned about CBD, that that's another option, which I think is a really good one because it doesn't do all the gut damage, never mind other things we may not know about. But that's one that I now keep in my maintenance program just to make sure that I keep the cancer and the Lyme, plus there were five other co-infections are probably still there. But, you know, as long as they're in remission, I wouldn't know it. I'm 61. I do my 5 miles usually uphill or bouncing on a trampoline every single day because I can and I love to. And, you know, if you've ever spent time in a wheelchair, you do. Once you've got it back, you never want to let that go. So use it or lose it.
Right. You do, you know, and that's, I'm just going to share this real quickly. I never used a wheelchair because most of the time I just couldn't get out of bed. So there was nowhere to go. Right. And I, you know, it's Christmas time. We just went through the holiday season. And of course I, like probably most people, we love to decorate our house. Right. And it is a sun up to sundown job for at least for me, right? Because I like to go all out. Why not, right? Let's have it up for a whole month and enjoy it. Sure. Well, the reason I bring this up is because Saturday, just a couple of days ago, I spent the whole day taking it down. And about midway through, I had talked to my mom, I talked to one of my friends, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so over this already. And, you know, I was really kind of starting to bitch about having to take down Christmas. And then it dawned on me, Tanya, a few years ago, you couldn't have done this if you wanted to. Oh my gosh, do not complain. Enjoy every aching moment of it, right? And it's kind of the same thing when I go to the gym in the morning, like maybe I didn't get to bed early enough or I just didn't feel it. Or if it's snowing outside, get your butt up and go to the gym because you used to just beg God to just give you your life back and let you wake up without pain. You have it now. Don't waste it, right? But yeah. We all need those reminders, I think, sometimes. Don't take the small or the big things for granted.
And you're so right. You know, and I was just having this conversation on Facebook with somebody who posted something about this. And I says, you know, we don't know what we have until it's gone. And if we're lucky enough to get it back, we cling to it dearly. And I really feel that, you know, as I was writing that, it's true. We take it for granted. When we were young and invincible and all the dumb things we did that we should be dead, really, but yet we're still here. Things change, but we have to, you know, learn to roll with that. So, you know, as we get better, it's like, okay, you know, I noticed at my, you know, roughly 6 month point that my bad days were better than my good days ever were. And that's where my gratitude switch, you know, started to flip on. It's like, holy cow, I am making progress. I am going to get out of this. I got this. And I think a lot of that is the mindset too. You got to believe as well that you really are.
Yeah.
If you're playing that what if game in your head, what if it doesn't work? You know, what if I never get better? What you think about, you bring about. Because, you know, as my, well, a famous person once said, you know, your mind is like a wheelbarrow. Where you pointed, that direction you pointed is where it's going to go. And that's a lot of the battle. And I'm rambling.
I'm so glad you brought that up because mindset is huge. Mindset is it, you know, there, and that's the reason I call my podcast Lyme and Beyond, right? Because it's not just Lyme. It's not just co-infections. It's not just Candida or SIBO, you know, whatever your issues are that are around this. It is an emotional journey. It is a mindset journey. There are just so many layers to it and it goes so far out. And I truly believe if you don't tackle each one of those layers, one of two things is going to happen. One, you're not going to get fully well, or two, you're not going to stay well. There's going to be something that's going to crumble your foundation again and allow these pathogens to take over. And so I just think it's such an important thing. So I'm glad you brought it up. If we can, I definitely want to talk about different things that you did to detox and stuff like that. But while we're on the mindset and kind of the emotional journey, can you share with us any part of how it was emotionally for you? Because I know, you know, in the beginning you said, I didn't have time to be sick. Like it was all of a sudden I just got knocked to my feet. And what am I going to do? How am I going to go about this? And it really takes a toll on us, you know, emotionally. And so what did that journey, part of that journey look like for you?
You know, I think a lot of people will relate to this one. As I say this, it's like taking the lead pack dog off the sled team and putting them in a 2x4 box and expecting them to stay there for years. That's exactly what it feels like. I mean, every single emotion, there are things worse than death. This is what Lyme taught me. There are things worse than death. And absolutely, I came close a couple of times, you know, and I'm sure many people will relate. And sadly, many people actually did it. But there are times that, you know what, death is kinder and I was ready to go. But there's something that just, you a little spark of faith that you honestly believe there's got to be a way out of this. This didn't happen for no reason. There is a reason this happened. And if I can figure out the reason, I can drag myself out of this. That was always in my head. But in the meantime, you're mourning every part of your life. You're mourning the loss of your job, the loss of your social life, the loss of your own self-identity. I mean, it's so demoralizing that, you know, do I blame somebody when they off themselves? I mean, my heart breaks. I hang my head, but I also understand.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. You know, I've unfortunately throughout my life, I've known people that, you know, have taken their life by suicide, not within the Lyme community, just, you know, prior to even Lyme. And I always thought, gosh, you know, and there's that old phrase, you know, suicide is a permanent answer for a temporary situation, right? But I always thought, gosh, they're so chicken. Like how could they do that? And I would get really mad, right? Not only because I miss them, but how or why? And like you said, you don't get it till you get it. And when I was there, I thought, I'm too chicken to take my own life. It wasn't the fact that I thought I was getting better because I hadn't even been diagnosed. I was about 4 years into it. And I thought, okay, if the doctors say nothing's wrong with me, then I can't get well. And I can tell you right now, I can't live like this. So there's no reason to live. I was too damn chicken to do it. So those people have more courage than I do. But it is truly sad. I think it's part of a lot of our journeys out there is we find that dark spot and it's there. It's the, we want to shine bright, right? So other people can find their way out of the darkness. And because it is a dark place to be, whether you have the support from your friends and family, which thank goodness I did. I was still felt very alone. It's very isolating. And so it's tough. It's really tough. I'm proud of you. And I love the fact that you said you were already learning that this journey is teaching you something. What are you supposed to get out of it? Because many of us don't figure that out till after the journey, right?
Yeah. And even then, you know, I've seen people go through a similar journey. It could be this, it could be cancer or something where they pull themselves out, you know, and I'm so happy and thrilled for them. But then I watch them go right back to their original lifestyle that got them into this mess to begin with. And I'm like, what can I say?
Yeah.
I can lead a horse to water, but I can't fix stupid.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, and I think that this is, I don't know if I want to call it a fine line, but I say that too, right? Many people get on the other side of this journey and then, and I tell you, it's PTSD from it is a real thing, right?
It is.
And people are afraid of bugs. People are afraid to go outside. People are afraid to hike. People are afraid to live their life. They live in a semi bubble, right? Or if they're out and about and they're busy for several days, they'll take a week down or days down. And I'm like, I don't want to live my life like that, right? And so I don't. I go. But the benefit of it is that I have so many tools in my toolbox that I'm going to continue to use them. You know what I mean? Continue to keep that foundation strong so that I can go out and live my life. Lyme already took 13 years of my life. Don't let Lyme take any more. Go out That's and right. live your life to the fullest. We're aware, right? We know what to look for. We know signs in our body because we come so in tune with our own bodies, which is another one of the many blessings of going through this journey is that I never thought I'd learn so much about my own body, right?
It has been an education and a half. I mean, sure, I can read through all kinds of textbooks and I can go and take all kinds of courses and have fancy initials behind my name. But, you know, the bottom line is I'm the walking, talking evidence that it can be done. I'm not the only one. There's many of us out there that have come out on the other side. So it can be done. It's a matter of figuring out your own bullet there. But and I forget where my whole main point was that I was going with this. I really had a great point.
It'll come back to you. It'll come back
it
to you.
It will.
You know, that's funny. So as we age, I just think in general, and life is busy and all of that, like sometimes those words, they don't come to us, right? And I always, the first thing out of my mouth is, oh, I have Lyme brain. You know,
yeah.
I worked hard to earn that title, like really, really hard to earn that title. And so I just roll with it. It has nothing to do with getting older, Tanya. It's all Lyme brain. I'll take it.
that's my key line. I think I even texted that to you, something about time zones I was struggling with there.
But yeah. Oh, yes, I do remember that. Yes exactly. It's okay. Yeah. We all get grace, right?
Sure, we do. I mean, we've been through a lot. And I think this actually is funny. Here's the thing. I think this is part of the PTSD. You know, it's all the things that you mentioned, but there's also the medical PTSD. What I've noticed is anytime I have to go near a medical establishment, or if I have to go in and get my eyes examined or go to a dentist, that just sends me into a state of anxiety, a fight, flight, freeze. I got to start working on my brain to just, okay, relax, you know, practice some breathing, go for, you know, a nice speed walk, whatever it takes to, you know, get myself around it. I find that's very difficult. And it's mainly because of how we have been, you know, regarded.
Yeah.
It's very hard to put trust and faith when, you know, at one point I had a nurse tell me that I should just go put some makeup on and go shopping. I'd be okay.
I haven't heard that one before.
Oh yeah, that was amazing. I really wanted to take her to the roof of the hospital and do a splatter test, but that's another story.
Wow. Yeah. No.
It was so bad.
It is. It's hard, and you know, and then when we have to go into these, you know, traditional medical facilities for whatever the reason is, it's almost like we're already on the defense. Right. So it's like a part of us don't even want to listen, or we're not even listening to what they say because we're just so defensive about it. But we have the right to be. But what we need to do is do exactly what you just said, right? Like reset for a second, whether it's meditation, breathing, walking, whatever it is that works for you, do that and be an open-minded person when you walk in there, right? But also be smart and be curious. I love that word curious anymore, because I think that if I didn't get curious, I probably still wouldn't be here. And a lot of times we need to, you know, I'm not going to dog the whole medical community, because I'm just not, I don't think it's fair.
No, far from.
But I also think that it's not the end all be all. What they say is not gospel, right? Let's take what they have. Let's ask questions. And again, it falls back to, do you resonate with your doctor? Do you resonate with your practitioner? Enough that you can entrust them with what you're saying and entrusting, but also doing your own research on what they're saying. So
that's
important.
Right. I think it's very important. Like even in things that I say, I always encourage people when I'm working with them one-on-one, you know, I know what I'm telling you can be overwhelming. So don't take my word for it. Go out and do the research so that you know that you know that you know. Just not because Danny went blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I think it's important. We need to educate ourselves as best we can.
Absolutely. We do for sure. Okay. So let's go back a little bit, if we can, to your detoxing, because again, you know, many of us, it takes us years to get a diagnosis, and then we get our diagnosis and we just want it out of us, right? Like we just want to kill, 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 kill. And that's not the only thing that you have to do, right? So you're killing off all these pathogens. Now it's just a dead toxicity floating around in your body. Well, now you got to detox it out of your body. So detox is huge. And a lot of people don't want to have that patience to kill and detox. They just want to kill. I can promise you that's probably not going to work for you. And I'm sure, Danny, you're going to agree with that. There is a little bit of a process to it, right? Like a kill, dissolve, bind, detox, get it out of us. You can't, because if you don't support your body in all the ways, you're going to take a few steps forward, but so many more backwards. And so we're here to share that with you, because we've been there, we've done it, we've experienced it, we've heard it from tons of people. So what were some of your detox regimens that you did?
Well, you know, right now I know out online there's a lot of the 5-day, 7-day detox programs, which they're great. They're wonderful. But if you have Lyme, here's the problem. A spirochete has a 28-day life cycle. And even right in the very beginning, if you were bit and we knew for sure it was infected, you know, I'd love to see somebody on 3 months, no questions asked, antibiotics, then there is, you know, hands down, you are not going to have an issue. And I'm probably, you know, 2 months would probably work, but I like 3 because
why not, right?
Opportunity, right?
Agreed.
And that's the thing. So if you're working with a bug that has a 28-day life cycle and you're killing these off every single day, which, as you know, it takes years to actually get, you know, the load down, every day those little buggies are dying. So you can do a detox for 5 or 7 days, but what are you going to do for the rest of the time? And what happens to you in the rest of the time is the toxins start to build up. So it's kind of like letting your car run out of gas. So you're going to put $5 in and still expect it to run like it should on a full tank of gas. Doesn't work. So I think it's really important for, you know, anybody like us, you know, I don't care what you want to call it, fibromyalgia, Lyme, MS, doesn't matter. Detox every day, and it doesn't have to be a hardcore program. If you're just starting with detoxing, great. Learn to drink more water. Learn to add a little bit of organic lemon, like take a fresh organic lemon, chop that in half, squeeze that into your water. That's a great way to start right there. You know, and if that's comfortable and you're okay, then you can start adding other things to your detox program. Like mine is ridiculous. First off, of course, it starts with diet. What you don't put into your body is going to help. So if it's good for you, do it. If it's not, don't. Now that's my famous motto, but what does that really mean? It sounds easy, right? But it's not simple. We got to be reading labels. What's on the label? Better yet, if it comes from a package, maybe put it down and go to the produce department and pick it up from there. And do the things from scratch. You know, if you don't know how to cook, great. There's lots of online things that maybe you have a craving for a certain dish. YouTube it. They will show you every which way but loose how to make it. It's great. So I think, you know, in watching the diet, learning to really pay attention to what's best for our liver is the best way to start any detox program. I think with a Limey who's been sick for a while, if they jump into the hardcore 5-7 day cleanse programs, they're going to find themselves in a detox crisis.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a great tip for sure. And I completely agree. Mm-hmm. You can overkill and you can over detox. There's not one is not any better or any worse than the other. And it's all about, I always say, you know, there's a lot of times we think our listeners or people that we talk to, just like what you said, sounds easy, but not simple, right? Or simple, but not easy. And that is important to learn. I feel that sometimes, especially when you're new to this Lyme disease, that it's very overwhelming, right? You talk to people, you're on Facebook, your doctor, whatever it is, and they're like, okay, you got to take all these pills and all this tincture, and you can't eat gluten, dairy, you know, all this, blah, blah, blah. And then you have to do, you know, coffee enemas and this detox and drink this stuff and do, and you're like, whoa, right? Like, first of all, let's back up. I have brain fog, okay? I don't remember already 80% of what you just told me, and now I have to completely transform my life overnight. No, baby steps, all about baby steps. And so I love that you just said, start with lemon water, right? That can be huge for us. And it really is helping you to detox. There are so many, and when I tell people to try new things, or when they're trying something new, especially like a tincture or a supplement that they're going to take, I always say, do just one at a time.
Yeah.
3-5 days. Let's see how your body reacts.
That's right.
If you throw everything at it at one time and you have a total body shutdown, then you have to start back at square one to figure out what it was anyways.
Well, the other thing too is, how do we know what worked and what didn't if we throw it all in as one big conglomeration? Yes,
exactly. But we get it, right? Like, we get that you want to throw everything at it all at once because we're tired of being sick. We want to be well, but it's just not the right way to do it. It's not. Yeah.
We have to be gentle with ourselves. Things have changed and it's not an easy thing to accept. And that's a big part of the battle right there. Acceptance was the answer to all my problems, as I've heard once said before. But once you do accept it, it's like, okay, now what do I do? It's like my mindset when I was first diagnosed with cancer. Okay, this is after Lyme, after a traumatic childhood, after 20 different surgeries in my life. Then the Lyme cardiac stuff, which took my heart at over 240 beats a minute. That's another story. And now I'm looking at cancer. I just looked up and I said, are you kidding? I mean, I melted down for 24 hours straight. I really did. I was a blathering mess and I was just the biggest baby ever. But, you know, I can't stay parked there. And at some point it's like, okay, Danny, here's where we're at. What are we going to do? And I decided, you know, I already knew I wasn't going to be doing chemo or radiation, but my mindset instantly shifted into the worst thing that's going to happen to me. The very worst thing that's going to happen to me is I'm going to go home early. Okay. So that being the case, what am I doing from here? And then the big girl panties went on and we're ready to fight again.
Yes, I love that. And that's the truth, right? And it's, gosh, just listening to you, I swear we're so much alike.
Well, I was going to ask you about 10 minutes ago.
Aligned. Are we related? Oh my gosh, it is so, so crazy. And that's one of the phrases that I use all the time is, it's okay to have a bad day. It's okay to have a rough day. This is not an easy journey. We get it.
We're human. No,
take a down day. And I tell people, sometimes we try to be so strong. And I say, we need to cry. We need to cry. So what you need to do is you need to get your comfies on. You need to lay on the couch and turn on a movie that you know is going to make you cry. And those tears are going to flood. You're going to feel so much better. But then the next day, just like what you said, put them big girl panties back on because it's time to get going.
That's right. And that goes out for the guys too. I think the guys need to know this. This is important. Guys, you need to cry too. And I know you've heard that expression, big boys don't cry. And that's absolutely true. Men do.
Men cry. Oh, I like that. I like that. Yes. You know, and that makes me want to make this comment as well. Being in the Lyme community for, you know, so many years that I have, it's amazing to me how most of us would probably think more women have it than men. And it's not true. It is just the last, I want to say probably 2, maybe 3 years, a lot of the men are finally coming out and speaking up. And I get it, right? We have to be very vulnerable when we share our stories. And when you're a male, right, like that role is everybody depends on you. You know, you're the money maker, you're the worker,
you're the protector.
Yes, yeah, all yes. those things. And how could I share with somebody that I was down and out and in bed and couldn't move? Not only could I not take care of my family, I couldn't take care of myself. Like, that's got to be a double whammy and extra hard to talk about, which I just truly think it's such makes more for a much more inspiring story. So I appreciate all the men out there that do come forward and share and talk about it because it's real. And I like your terminology. Yeah, boys don't, but boys don't cry.
Boys don't cry, but real men do.
Yes, I like it.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's really important.
That's awesome.
And we got to remember too that we are spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yes, absolutely.
It's so hard
exactly.
It's easy to forget that.
You know, so many things are easy to forget. Just like I was talking about my Christmas decorations, right?
Yeah.
We just forget to stop and not take for granted in anything in life because it truly is so precious. It really is, and we learn that after going through any type of chronic illness journey, you know, obviously we're talking about Lyme, but so Danny, before we close, I mean, this seriously, it really is kind of mind blowing how much our stories align and the different terminology that we've used. And it is crazy. I want to talk about where this path has taken you. So you go down this journey, right? And your eyes are wide open. You get curious like I did. And then there's a reason that you went through this. And I know that it's because if we could just educate anybody on what a bullseye rash meant, right? It could have saved so many years of our lives because I thought a bullseye rash, well, I didn't think it meant anything. And then when the doctor said Lyme disease, I thought, well, isn't that what a dog gets? Like, I didn't even know. And it's really embarrassing. But if just my voice gets one person to understand that a bullseye rash means you have Lyme disease, then it's like my journey was all worth it, you know? And so I know that you've turned your passion into much, much more than I just have in, you know, doing the little volunteer stuff that I do within the community. But you truly have taken it to the next level. So share with the listeners kind of what you do, how they can find you, and all the good stuff.
Oh, I'd love to. Well, you know, again, it's really taken my truck full of lemons as a classic wounded healer. And now I take that information, everything that I've learned over the last 20, 30 years, and I try to condense that and shorten it for other people who are finding themselves on that same path. You know, it might be you were just freshly bitten, maybe you've been sick for a long time, or, you know, even the cancer thing. You know, that's another subject that I help people with, as well as the PTSD, as you said, that, you know, comes as part of the package deal. And, you know, having been there, especially over the holidays, I had a lot of people that I was connecting with and I was loving it. And I think what they appreciated the most, as I do, is that this illness doesn't take a holiday. And the fact that there are people like me out there, there's a lot of us, that are willing to say, hey, you know, I'm here. What can I do to help you? It absolutely thrills me. Like, I'm seeing more and more educators out there all the time, and I love it. I want to encourage that. The more of us, the better, because mainstream medicine, I mean, it's got its strengths. It's wonderful for if you break a leg, you know, get in there, get it fixed up, or your appendix blows up, you're going to need them. But, you know, there's other things where, unfortunately, it's just not able to carry the load. And that's where I like to come in again is, you know, helping other people with, okay, you know, work with your doctor and ask them about this. But, you know, as they tell me their symptoms, I can come up with suggestions because I'm hearing their body talking is what I hear. Their body is screaming loud and clear what's going on. So the more they tell me, the more I can tell them what their body is saying. And they start to tune into their own bodies as a result, which is great. I think this is the biggest thing, is learn to listen to ourselves and respect that. Instead of going with what the world says we should be doing, it doesn't go that way.
Yeah, no, and that is too. Not only can you help your body heal faster by listening to your own body, but it's educating us, right? And that is what's going to help us stay healthy for the years to come, because we don't want to live in a bubble, like I mentioned, right? We want to get our life back. And by questioning who you're working with and learning, why did you say this? You know, why did you recommend this? And then, well, my symptom was this because of it. What can we learn from it? It's all about being curious and open-minded and wanting to understand and study our body. Because if you don't and you just do what people say and don't understand, you're really not gaining a big lesson from this, you know? And that's what we want. We want to know. We want to learn, whether you want to give back to the community or just keep yourself and your family healthy from many things with a strong foundation. That's what it's going to give you.
That's right. So that's why I spend a lot of time now educating people. And I've got various ways that I do that. You know, I'm actually having a lot of fun with a live show that I do every Tuesday on my Facebook group. It's called Danny Cade Wellness, if anybody's interested. It's just like my name, put the wellness behind it. And every week, a Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I do a little show I call Tea Talk. And it's, you know, never more than 10 minutes where I'm going to share some information that's going to be helpful. It'll be, you know, some little tidbits that, you know, take what you like, leave the rest, because, again, there is never a one-size-fits-all program. And then I share from that show as well. I've got an online free wellness center that people can access. They can look up all sorts of wellness things from, you know, your thoughtsmanship right down to what you put on your skin. And again, you know, there's things in there that I don't even do, but because it's a one, you know, not a one size fits all program, other people it'll be great for, it's in there. So, you know, if you're seeing things you don't like in there, keep in mind that's for somebody else. It's okay. Walk away and find what you like. And then, of course, not everybody can, you know, see my show live. So I do put it up on a YouTube channel. It's also called Danny Cade Wellness. That's easy to find. Just slowly, you know, playing with that now. It's been kind of a little project on the sideline I'm toying with. And then there's those that, you know, may not like video stimulation. So I also put it in a blog form. And that's really what I've been doing. And those that, you know, I always put an invite out to reach out to me if, you know, you feel that there's something that maybe you're connecting with me on that I can help you with. I would love to. Absolutely.
It's
my way of paying forward all the wonderful things that have been given to me along the way.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And I love that you do your 10-minute little video each week. I just think that's great. You know, you can get so much more information out when we're talking versus texting, right? And a lot of times when we hear the words out loud, our brain can trigger on certain ones of them more so, right? And yes, just like what you said, we share all the information. And if it's not for you, scroll past, right? Like, there's a lot of jokes on just traditional Facebook that, you know, if you don't like what somebody's saying, you don't have to tell them. I'm sure they really don't mind. Just scroll past it, you know, because not everything works for everyone. But also on the flip side of that, I've said this for years, that if you try something and your body doesn't like it, it's not working for you, that doesn't mean it may not be your key needle mover in 6 months from now or That's a year right. from now, right? So never be closed-minded to trying it again if it just keeps coming up, right? You keep seeing it on Facebook. You keep hearing somebody talk about it. No, I tried that. I tried it. It didn't work. But you know what? It's the universe is telling you something, right? It's you're seeing it all over. Give it a try. You never know.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that. I hear this a lot. I tried that. And I say, okay, well, how much? What dosage? What did you try? Was it a grocery store brand? Like, do you mind my asking what brand was it? Is it, you know, of quality? And that's very important. And I find out that, yeah, I took a vitamin B every day and it didn't do anything for me. Well, vitamin B complex is a really interesting one because it's a stress responder. You're driving down the road and a little child ball comes bouncing out. You know the kid's coming next. You go and you stomp on the brakes, right? In that second that you went and stomped on the brakes, all of your B, C, and zinc just got burnt up right there on the spot. So B complex is when you take it, you'll notice that your urine turns into a really cool neon bright color. When that color starts to fade off, that means it's time to take another one. Now, some days I only need 3 of them in a day if I'm having a really low stress day. Other days I need 12. I drink a lot of tea. I'm a teetotaler. So I urinate a lot, and that color tells me how much B I need to take. Now, that makes a difference of, am I getting enough to help with my nervous system, my neurological system, or not? Magnesium is the same thing. Oh, yeah, I took magnesium. It didn't work. Well, you probably followed what was on the label, which, quite frankly, is what the Frankenfood and Death Administration, FDA, recommends, is my joke. And it's great if you're just, you know, topping up. That's wonderful. But if you're depleted, that's not enough. So yeah. here's what I'm going to share with everybody. If you're craving things like cheese, chocolate, nuts, or you're, you know, getting those Charlie horses the middle of the night or that first thing in the morning stretch where all of a sudden your lower leg is about to snap in half, that's a good indicator that you don't have enough magnesium. Start taking more. And keep taking more slowly but surely, add that, you know, increase it gradually until those symptoms go away. Then you know you have enough magnesium.
Love that. Such great tips. And I love all of your sites that you shared with us because free resources, they truly are everywhere. They are. Mm-hmm. You just got to know where to look for them, right?
Thank you. Can I jump in? I got to say this. There's so many coaches out there, but how many of them have actually experienced what we have experienced? And the coaches who are actually coming from a school of experience, those are the ones that you want to work with. It doesn't have to be me, but there's lots out there. Yeah, I highly encourage people to gravitate to them.
There really are. And again, it's all who you resonate with, right? You need to resonate with them as well. But I just think that when we go through this journey, like, who better to share from, right? And who better to listen to than somebody who has absolutely been down this journey? Because we know it and we That's all right. say it over and over. You don't get it till you get it.
Sadly so. It's like one lady I was working with the other day, and she's been through 2 coaches that really set her off. And, you know, at first she was, you know, kind of really feeling me out. Well, you know, why are you going to be any different? And I says, well, I'm pretty sure those 2 coaches never had Lyme, never had cancer, never had PTSD, and don't have the ability to speak from experience. So I'll leave that with you. And we did get together, and she started telling me her story. And at one point she says, and I can tell by the look on your face that you know exactly what I'm talking about. And I thought, bingo. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's important.
I love it. It's so important. Well, Dani, this has been so fun, so enlightening. And again, like I'm blown away at how similar our stories are and things that we took away from this journey. So it's incredible. It's been amazing to meet you. I appreciate what you do in the Lyme community. And most importantly, I appreciate that you joined me today and shared all your stuff with me, because without guests like you, I wouldn't have a show, right? So
I'm
appreciate
you. This is great. Thank you for doing it. I think your viewers love this. They've got to love this. I mean, it's so much information on your shows. I actually watched through a few of them there yesterday too.
Oh, I appreciate that. And again, for all the listeners, you know, in the description of this episode, we'll have all of Dani's links she talked about, the resources, everything, so you can reach out to her if you would like to get in touch with her. Thank you again, Dani, so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.